out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 7th of February, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. As it's Wednesday, we're joined by Billy Roper from the Shieldwall Network and the Roper Report, which you can hear later on today on Radio Arian. Billy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Sven. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I think we've got a really great topic to get into today. But just before we begin on that, I just want to make a short announcement. Simon Shepherd, the author, is going to be at York Crown Court at 9:30 a.m. on Thursday, the 22nd of February. And he's there under false accusations that he made racial slurs against one of his neighbours. And it's pretty serious, because if he gets into trouble, he could end up being sent to prison, because he's been in prison before on speech crime charges. So if anybody is anywhere near York, then if they could go there on Thursday, the 22nd of February, and show Simon some support. That's Simon Shepherd. And we'll be talking more about what's happening there as we get nearer to the time on the Daily Nationalist. But today I've got such a great subject, I think this is, because we can go into so many different areas with it. But on the news today in Britain, all over the news and all over the BBC and ITV, Channel 5, they've been talking about how the first Britons were black. And this is a study from the Natural History Museum. It's a DNA study. And I'll read out a quote from the article, and then we can go into some of it. And I've got some other quotes from other articles here. And I know you've been doing some digging around into this as well, Billy. So just so that the listeners understand what we're talking about. Yeah, I'll just read this bit, and then we'll go into that. It says, the earliest Britons were black-skinned, with dark curly hair and possibly blue eyes. A new analysis of a single 10,000-year-old Somerset skeleton has revealed. Scientists at the Natural History Museum have used pioneering genetic sequencing and facial reconstruction techniques to prove that the first hunter-gatherers successfully to inhabit Britain were far darker in complexion than previously thought. The groundbreaking discovery was made in a stroke of luck after archaeologists found scraps of DNA in the ear of the Mesolithic Cheddar Man, the oldest complete skeleton ever found in the UK and one of the museum's most treasured specimens. They then cross-referenced the genomes of modern inhabitants of Cheddar near Gough's Cave in the Cheddar Gorge, where the remains were discovered in 1903, as well as other fossils from across Europe. The results show, contrary to popular belief, that the founding generations of Britons owed more in appearance to Paleolithic Africans, from whom all humans descend. Scientists said that they show that commonly understood racial categories are historically only recent constructions. Well, I guess they never heard of Egypt then, because they had them over 6,000 years ago in a famous picture that we've all seen. Continuing, up to 9 previous colonisations of Britain via the now flooded European land bridge known as Doggerland has been wiped out due to harsh temperatures. But the roughly 12,000 humans in Britain at the time of Cheddar Man thrived, and their DNA now comprises roughly 10% of the genetic makeup of most white people currently living in the UK. Well, they say there's 12,000 of them in Britain, where they only had the remains of one body, so they have no idea that they thrived, or even if there was any more than just this one, who could well have been a slave. And just because a Mercedes and a Rolls-Royce both have wheels does not mean that they both come from the same factory, does it? So just because there's a small amount of DNA in this creature that's similar to a small amount of DNA in people today does not mean that they are descended from them. And the picture they have, what they've done is they've reconstructed this supposedly the first Briton. And every picture I see of him, the left of the magazine, the darker the light is on the actual creature. So he's jet black in some of them and he's brown in others because they're trying to make him look as dark as possible. But he's basically a Negro with blue eyes, which is just completely impossible. But before we go into that, I'll just pass it over to you for your comments, Billy, because I've been got to give you a chance, I think.
Well, thank you, Sven. Yeah, I've got a lot because this is my background. This is my forte. You know, when I was in grad school, I actually specialized in anthropology and studying anthropology actually before the Franz Boas School took over it, before it became nothing more than sociology with a subscription to National Geographic magazine, when the anthropology was really about science. And so there are so many holes in this article. What we're really going to circle back to is that it's a politically based article trying to push the idea that race is a social construct. And as a direct attack on Britons, it's trying to say that it does not matter whether Britons are white or not. What he says is that people who feel British should have white skin, and that it's an idea that has changed, and that is an idea that will change. In other words, that if people feel British, whether they are black or purple or polka-dotted or zebra-striped, it doesn't matter because that makes them British, because he's trying to destroy the traditional British identity of being white people. Now, who is he? He is Jan Diekman, and there are echoes around his name. He is not a Goyim. He's a Jew. And I did some research on him, which is going to be very illuminating in just a minute. But he is from the University of College of London, and he is pushing the political spin on this article. He admits that only 76% chance, really, that the melanin count for this DNA was correct. So if only 10%, according to the article, and other articles that were also published today say, if only 10% of white Britons share Cheddar Man's ancestry, that means that 90% don't, right? And even in the same cave, there are older human remains that did not share the same genetic ancestry. So it's ridiculous for anyone to say that this means that the oldest British people were dark-skinned, because this single individual does not represent even the oldest British ancestors in the same residence, in the same cave. There are 5,000 years older human remains in the same cave which do not share that genetic ancestry. So both older and younger human remains found in Great Britain are not genetically related to that one individual. Now, his financial interest, Jan Diekman's financial interest, comes from the fact that if you do some research on him himself and what he's doing, and if you read between the lines of these politically correct spin articles, you'll see exactly where his bread is being buttered, so to speak. Right now, Jan Diekman is being financed by a charitable trust called the Wellcome Charitable Trust. That's Wellcome, based in London. And you can actually look up wellcome.ac.uk and read about their governance. They actually fund medical and pharmaceutical research, and they're part of the United Nations World Health Organization. But Diekman himself, if you look up his bio at ucl.ac.uk, Diekman is part of a Wellcome-funded project looking for human adaptations to changing diet based on modern and ancient DNA sequences. In other words, he is being paid by Wellcome to try to find any kind of evidence that he can that humans have changed in our appearance, in our behavior, based on changes in diet. And if you read the article, they're trying to put forward the ridiculous idea that changes in skin color resulted from humans beginning to drink milk, so we did not need vitamin D from the sun as much. So he is actually spinning his results to try to suit and to please his financiers in Wellcome, to suit their preconceived notions that changes in diet actually change human racial appearances. So that's exactly what his spin is and where his money's coming from. Now, as far as eye color, the idea that this is a dark-skinned, blue-eyed person, eye color, as we know, is much more recessive and recent genetic trait as a kind of climactic and environmental adaptation than skin color, and more fragile. You know, hair color is somewhere in between eye color and skin color. So if you take, for example, melanin, which is what they measured in the scrap of DNA to try to find a 76% chance that this one individual had more melanin than the people who live in the area of Cheddar today. If you take that DNA from an Irish person, for example, a Celtic Irish person with freckles, you know, because Celtic people have more freckles than non-Celtic people, that might show melanin indicators, more melanin indicators than even, say, a Mediterranean white person would. But that does not mean it would be stupid to assume from Celtic DNA that Celts are dark-complected based on that. And that Telegraph article, you know, goes on to quote that Jude Diekman as still pushing the out-of-Africa theory. It's been long debunked, and this is a core for us. And I know that a lot of people are going to go, you know, Billy's going into Christian identity again, but this is supported by science. This is not just my personal religious faith. There is a website I encourage people to go to called rafonda.com. That's rafonda.com. And R.A. Fonda is one of the many anthropologists who have conclusively supported a multilineal origin theory for mankind. And he's backed up with many, many academic citations on his site, rafonda.com, which actually shows that there are different origins for what we call the human species. In other words, liberals and leftists like to say that race is a social construct, but the reality is that the multilineal origin idea does reflect Christian identity, but it's based on science and genetics, and what it proves is that humanity is a social construct as a species. In other words, there are in reality three different origins, parallel multilineal origins for what we call today the human species, but which are actually three separate species that can interbreed with one another, just like donkeys and horses and zebras that are separate species can interbreed, and just like lions and tigers, which are also separate species, can interbreed. So to recap, we've got a couple things going on. First, Diekman as a Jew is trying to spin this politically by trying to rob Britons of their identity as being whites traditionally and historically and prehistorically, and trying to then get them to accept becoming a minority in their own country once again by saying that if you feel like you're British, it doesn't matter what color you are because it never has been about color. And then secondarily, his own pocketbook is being padded because he's being funded by Wellcome, a charity which is promoting the idea that changes in diet is what really makes racial changes. And that's what he's trying to spin his results from this story in, to say that, you know, because humans started drinking milk, they didn't need vitamin D from the sun. So that was what caused skin color changes. So obviously he's trying to spin this politically and also trying to spin this for his own financial profit from his benefactors. Ultimately, what we need to learn from this is that, as always, you know, the controlled media will lie and try to destroy white identity. But I'd like for people to think about the idea of multilineal human origin, that we are not all the same. Now, if you accept the out-of-Africa theory, then there's really the only conclusion is then those who are in Africa, those who are Africans, those who are most unevolved from the African type are the least evolved and the most primitive type of human. So if you accept the out-of-Africa theory, then you have to also then be saying that whites are more evolved by definition than blacks. Now, if liberals want to go there, I guess they could defend that. But I do not accept the out-of-Africa theory. I think it's been pretty soundly debunked. I believe in the multilineal origin. And if people would like to read in depth about it, I encourage them to go to rafonda.com. That's rafonda.com to find out more.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, the multi-origin theory, that reflects what we actually see. That's logically what we see around us. And if you believe that we all came out of Africa, then the Negroes would be the most advanced because they're the oldest species. We're a new species. And that comes into this as well. Where it's saying that blue eyes, this creature here, 10,000 years ago, had blue eyes. Well, they told us last year that blue eyes appeared in the Black Sea region. along with blonde hair and farming. And it suddenly appears, and about 6,000 years ago, it started making its way into Europe, because alongside the first traces we have of white people, we also have the first traces of civilization. We had farming, and we had civilized whites in the Fertile Crescent at that time, 6,000 years ago. Did they evolve in just 4,000 years from Negroes, like this one here that's supposed to be 10,000 years old? And yet, when you look at the official age of this skeleton, they've always said that it's 7,150 years old. Now, my guess would be that that's why they've lengthened it now and said, oh, it's 10,000 years old, because it's a little bit too much to believe that white people evolved from Negroes in just a little over 1,000 years, because that's pretty much what they're saying. 6,000 years ago, we had white people, and this black guy was around 10,000 years ago in Britain, and he must have evolved into white people in that time, which is just absolute nonsense. The second thing, how can he be called a Briton when Prince Brutus never even set foot on the island until around 2000 BC? It's like calling a woolly mammoth a Briton. Is anything that's humanoid a Briton? Do you know what I mean? It's absolute nonsense. This whole article can be pulled apart in so many different ways. I've got some more from The Guardian here. It says, the results pointed to a Middle Eastern origin for Cheddar Man, suggesting that his ancestors would have left Africa, moved into the Middle East, and later headed west into Europe, before eventually crossing the ancient land bridge called Doggerland, which connected Britain to continental Europe. So he didn't evolve in an icy cave then, which is what a lot of people seem to think, that the British people evolved in icy caves. But if it's believable for a Negro to make his own way all the way to Britain, then why is this theory discounted in the mainstream for white men heading here from the Fertile Crescent? That's where civilization began, was in the Fertile Crescent, the most fertile part of the earth, where it was conducive to have a civilization. Once they had the civilization, once they had knowledge of the calendar, the stars to navigate by, food preservation, animal husbandry, crop husbandry, domesticated animals, knowledge of architecture, writing to pass down information down the generations, warm clothing. They needed all of this before they could then move to living in the north and putting up with the cold. You need to have a high standard of civilization before you can survive in this part of the world. That's why we never had Negroes here until now. And we would never have Negroes here now if we hadn't given them our technology and allowed them to come into our countries and shown them how to build seaworthy boats that they never had before. We were protected by the cold. You had to be of a certain standard of civilization to live in this kind of an environment. Now, I would suggest that this guy was either a slave, or they've just made this up. And it's quite possible that they have just made this up, because I've also been reading that with ancient genetics, you can't actually tell what colour someone's skin is or what colour their eyes are. And I think you pointed that out as well, Billy, by saying that the same amount of melanin can produce freckles in white people. I mean, white people are completely different from blacks. We did not evolve from blacks. This story itself makes it impossible, unless they're saying that it just takes 4,000 years to evolve from a Negro into a white man. I'll pass it back over to you for some more comments, Billy.
And of course, you're absolutely right that is not the case. You would have to have such a tiny bottleneck in population for any kind of climatic or environmental adaptations to happen that quickly that it would not be 12,000 Britons, you know, on the island at that time. So no, that kind of what we call evolution does not happen that quickly to turn literally from one species, one subspecies to another, or from one species to another. And obviously, this is a complete skeleton, which makes it somewhat different from some of the human remains which are older and have no genetic relation to it, which have been found in the same cave in the same area of Great Britain. So being a complete skeleton, having the complete skull, the upper and lower jaws, then these two Dutch reconstructionists, the Kinnis brothers, Adrie Kinnis is one who actually put together this recreation of the face. They know that race is not just a question of skin color in any event. Race is literally evident in every bit of human DNA, every scrap of tissue, and most importantly, being a complete skeleton, you can recreate a racial facial structure when you have a complete skull, as they do in this case, and show, for example, what a person's cheekbones look like, how broad their nose was, how long their nose was. And you can literally, regardless of, you know, if a African is an albino, you certainly don't look at them and say, oh, well, they look like they're from Norway. No, you know that that's an African albino. So race is not just skin color. Even if there was a 76% chance that this one individual had more melanin in their DNA than the average citizen in the area today, which is what they base the perimeter on by measuring that, then that would mean that perhaps they are more Celtic than the current population. Or it could mean perhaps if they had freckles. It could mean that they got their numbers wrong, you know, 76% chance. Well, that's a 24% chance that they made a mistake and it has less melanin. But even if it did have slightly more melanin than the current population of the region, and probably less melanin than a modern day Italian or Spaniard or Greek white person, then that does not mean that the depiction of it with broad nose and looking like a blue-eyed nigger really is at all accurate, because race is much more than skin color. And the amount of melanin does not dictate a facial structure, but having a full skeleton as they do, they could very easily have shown it. But you're right, there's a lot of falsehoods, a lot of presuppositions and biases evident in this article. For example, the whole article is prefaced on supporting their preconceived notion of the out-of-Africa theory, which has been debunked time and time again. And their whole article is based on supporting their preconceived notion that race is a social construct, and Jan Diekman's financed notion that diet changes one's skin color, which is what he's being paid to discover, what he's being paid to find out. You know, Sven, if I told you that I was going to give you $100,000 American to do some research and come up with some evidence to support my theory, then that would probably be a pretty good motivation for you to find, you know, the research to support any theory that I wanted to put forward. And that's exactly what Jan Diekman has done, since he's being paid by this Wellcom company that wants to put forward the idea that diet changes race.
Well, later on, they say that it's actually eating meat that caused the change in color. But it is quite clear that they've deliberately tried to make this creature look as negro-fied as possible. And how can they say, when they've just got one body, how can they say that everyone else there was exactly the same as that one body? How can they say that there were 12,000 people in Britain at the time? They've got no idea how many people there were in Britain at the time. And I don't think there was white people here back then. I don't think we came here till about 6,000 years ago. As I say, once we had civilization in the Fertile Crescent, we had the technology to live in the north, then we would have come here. And our earliest chronicles say that there was a small race here and we just wiped them out. And it says that in quite a few early chronicles in Europe, that there were these little people that were inhabiting the area and we just wiped them out. I mean, we used to fight among ourselves. If we saw other white people, we would wipe them out. We certainly would have wiped out people that never looked anything like us. We would never have thought of mating with them or anything as ridiculous as that. But a lot of the time in this article, I mean, you just look at the wording and you can see that they're deliberately trying to put across a different idea to sort of cover their backs, basically. I mean, in this Guardian one, it says, the team homed in on genes known to be linked to skin color, hair color and texture, and eye color. For skin tone, there are a handful of genetic variants linked to reduced pigmentation, including some that are very widespread in European populations today. However, Cheddar Man had ancestral versions of all these genes, strongly suggesting he would have had dark to black skin tone, but combined with blue eyes. And the important bit there is it's not saying it's the same version of all these genes. What they're saying there is ancestral versions of these genes, which means they are not the same. I mean, they cannot say that 10% of the population today have them. 10% may have genes similar to them that the politically correct scientists think may have evolved from them. But there is no evidence for macroevolution anyway, which is why it's just a theory. And there is no evidence that 10% of the population are descended from this humanoid. I mean, white men are the same today as they were 6,000 years ago. And we can see that from our depictions of ourselves. We can see that from the ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics, which is the writing, but the pictures that they had there show, quite clearly show white people, and they show the other races as well. There's been no evolution in that time. Negroes looked the same back then. White people looked the same back then. And we still look the same today, and we still have the same intelligence that we had back then. We had writing, and we were able to build. I mean, they were better at building than they are today. We still have structures in Britain that were built 3,000-4,000 years ago that are still standing, that continue to amaze me. I mean, I think 4,000 years ago, these stones were put together and they're still there for the ancestors. So we haven't changed. And this is just a pack of lies in this article. It also says the latest findings suggest pale skin may have emerged later, possibly when the advent of farming meant people were obtaining less vitamin D through dietary sources like oily fish. So you're saying there that eating meat magically turns us white. Either within 1,500 years, if it was a 7,500-year-old skeleton, or 4,000 years, if it was a 10,000-year-old skeleton. And it says Cheddar Man.
And that is exactly what Jan Diekman is being paid to say. That is what he's being paid to find out by Wellcom, who are his funders, who are backing him financially. So he actually produced exactly what the people who are paying him to produce said. He made them happy, and so he's probably going to get another grant from them. And if you look at the article, you know, where he says the historical perspective that you get just tells you that things change. I'm quoting him. Things are in flux. And what may seem as a cemented truth that people who feel British should have white skin through time is not at all something that is an immutable truth. It has always changed and will change. So he's putting forth, you know, the demographic replacement theory that Britain should allow themselves and be happy about being replaced demographically by non-whites because they weren't really white to begin with. And it's never really been white to feel British. And that's exactly the political spin on it. But I want to get back to something that you said that I think is crucial for people to understand because it's spot on brilliant. Just because this one particular individual may have had the ancestral genetic trait to have darker complexion doesn't mean that he did at all. It does not even mean that those genes were turned on. You know, we all have genes in our chromosomes that can be turned on or turned off. And they literally will decide, like flipping a switch whenever they're taking form, whether we have one trait or another based on whether that gene that we have is turned on or turned off. Like, for example, you and I probably have ancestors who had brown eyes and ancestors who had blue eyes. And whether or not that gene for blue eyes is turned on or turned off will decide whether or not we have blue eyes or brown eyes. We have both of those genetic ancestries in us. But it doesn't mean that we are automatically blue or brown-eyed. One or the other is going to happen. Now, this individual may have had the ancestral genetics to have had darker skin because one of his ancestors may have had freckles or may have been Celtic or, you know, who knows. But that doesn't mean that he did because I have in me the genetic switch to have given me an appendix. But my appendix doesn't do much. You know, it's just there. And so there's nothing really going on with the genes that turned on me having an appendix. And I know that, you know, my dad had blue eyes. I have green. That particular blue eye switch wasn't turned on for me, but that ancestral genetics is still in me. So there's no way just because someone has the ancestral genetics to be sure or certainly to even be probable that they were dark complected just because they may have had ancestral genes for a certain amount of melanin.
Well, I think another thing that's important about it is that it's being funded by the United Nations. And they've got a vested interest in saying that we're all part of the same race and we should all interbreed together and just make a brown mess so that the Jews can then rule over us. The Kugnova-Kologi plan, that's not just for Europe, that's for the whole of the white world. I've got a final quote here. It says, Cheddar Man would have lived a hunter-gatherer lifestyle, making sharp blades from flints for butchering animals, using antlers to whittle harpoons for spear fishing, and carving bows and arrows. Again, the important bit there is it says, would have. There was no evidence to suggest that this Negroid did anything like that, and the cave that he was found in was full of cannibal remains. So I don't think that there's any evidence to show that this is an ancestor of the British people at all. This is just a skeleton from 10,000 years ago. We know that there's been 10 different types of humanoid that came over in great immigration waves over hundreds of thousands of years over into the land that is now called Britain. But it doesn't mean that we are descended from them. In fact, it doesn't make any logical sense that we would be descended from them. I look like my father. Everyone looks like the people that came before them. You don't suddenly change to being a different species. The only way something drastic like that can happen is through race mixing. And then you just end up destroying your genetics. So this is all just it's predictable that they would do this, but it's good that we can highlight it, I think, Billy, and show people what's wrong with it so that they can then repeat it to their friends. Is there anything else you'd like to finish with before we finish, Billy?
Just want to say quickly, please go to rafonda.com and read about Multilineal Human Origins, the theory which is replacing the false out-of-Africa theory. That's rafonda.com.
Okay, thanks for coming on, Billy. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. God bless and hail victory.